Every time I get up to try to sing, I try to sing that song like it's the last time I'll get to sing. Whenever I get up to preach, I preach that sermon like it may be the last time that I'll ever get to preach. And you know, when we put forth an effort like that, God recognizes that and He'll bless it. If you'd like to follow along today, we're going to be reading from the 4th chapter of the book of Philippians. And as you turn there, take your notepad if you have a bulletin. Turn it on the back side. It says Paul Wasu and Ron Spurgeon, 4:17-16. And I'd like you to write down 8 words today. I'm going to call it the Elite 8. Elite 8. Number 1, the word true. T-R-U-E. Number 1. Number 2, honest. Oh, do I need to slow down? Honest. O-N-E-S-T. True, number 1. Honest, number 2. Number 3, just. J-U-S-T. Just. Number 4, if you don't want to write these down, make a mental note. We're going to talk about it in just a little while. Number 4 is pure. P-U-R-E. Pure. Number 5, this represents my wife today. Lovely. Lovely. I have a lovely wife. L-O-V-E-L-Y. Number 6, good report. When I say she's lovely, there's usually a good report that follows that. Number 7, virtue. V-I-R-T-U-E. Virtue. Number 8, Elite 8 is praise. P-R-A-I-S-E. Praise. And then I want you to put a number 9. And on number 9, this is what I want you to do. In fact, you can put it down there. What shall I do? The action, number 9, is think on these things and do. Think on these things and do. Now, you're going to find every one of these words in one verse of Scripture. Did you know that? One verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Let's begin our reading lesson. And it all stems from a very common verse, number 13. And this will be our text today. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, what things are we talking about today? We're talking about the 8 elite things that the Apostle Paul wants us to do. Look with us this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Eudaios, and beseech thee, Syntyche. Syntyche. I know that's a hard word to pronounce, but that's the way it's pronounced. Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Amen. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Boy, that's a good book to be in. If you're not in the book of life, you need to get in the book of life. And you got to know that you're in the book of life. Because I'll tell you, if you're in the book of life, you're in a good number. If you're not in the book of life, you're in a bad number. And you need to get out of that bad number and get in the book of life. That was just extra. I didn't think about it until I read it there. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. He said, and I said, rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your minds, through Jesus Christ. And he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, number 1, whatsoever things are honest, number 2, whatsoever things are just, number 3, he says, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And look right there, the word is do. You can list all these words. You can think about all these words. You can think about all these words and what they mean. But they mean absolutely nothing if you don't do it. That's the action part. He said, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I'm glad of that because I don't want to do it on my own. I don't want to preach this message on my own. I don't want to do anything on my own, but I will do it if God will be with me. You pray for that. You pray for your pastor. You didn't know this was going to be a sermon in the church, but what I want you to do is not just pray for me while I'm up here. I want you to pray for me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I want you to pray with me always. Not just for me, but with me. I pray for you. You pray for me. We pray for each other. And if we'll put these 8 things into action, you're going to see some things right before your very eyes. It may not be a number. And I'm not here to try to get the numbers up. What I'm here to do is serve the Lord. If the Lord raises the numbers, to God be the glory. He's worthy of all praise. Now listen. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. He said, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Do you lack any opportunity? If we lack any opportunity, it's because we kind of lack. When we get lax and we get we rest on our laurels. Now that's a word that we use in the business term. But when you rest on your laurels, it means I'm satisfied with the things the way they are, and I'm not going to change. Now if you're like that, I'll tell you what, you'll get just that. You won't get any change. You won't get any good change. Most likely you're going to get some bad change. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. Paul said, for I have learned. This is a learning process. If you can't come to church and learn something, then why go to church? If you don't read the Bible every day, that's my message tonight. I don't know why God's dealing with me today. I have to go to that church and tell them you need to read the Bible every day. Romans tells me, the sister Sandra said, you need to read the Bible every day. Not just read the Bible every day, but put it into action. Affirms what we need to say today. Not that I speak in respect of what, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am therewith to be content. Now he said, situation you're in, just be content and be lazy. That's not what he's saying. It means be content with such things as I have. Always try to do a little bit better tomorrow. Hebrews, and if God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what we ought to do is get more acquainted with Him. How do you get more acquainted with Him? You pray every day, you read your Bible every day, and then you put into action the elite 8 that we're going to talk about in a minute. He says, I know. And I'm glad we get accused of this, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Baptist Missionary Baptist people, they know that they know that they're saved. They know that they know that they've passed from death into life. And if you go to Africa, that's what you're going to hear Brother Paul preach. A no show salvation owing nobody. He says, I know both how to be abased, in other words, how to be made low. I know how to be abound. I know how to rise up. He said, but everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, where does your strength come from? We'll talk about that in a minute. And he says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me.
as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now, in the other churches, he's not saying that they should have or they would have. He's just stating the facts. Brothers and sisters, that's what I will try to do, is just state the facts. Now, if that hurts your feelings, take it up with the Lord. If it doesn't hurt your feelings, maybe you still ought to take it up with the Lord. How do you see? Because all of us, we give an account to the Lord. Also, a lot of people, they'll stop right there. A lot of churches, they'll stop there. They'll say, well, you just have to give an account to the Lord. Let me tell you, if you're a member of this church, you have to give an account to one another as well. I have to give an account to you. You have to give an account to me. Is that thing we go around and we gossip? I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about lifting each other up in prayer. And helping each other up. But when you're down, how come we got members that have not come for years and years? How we just don't be faithless and say, well, God, have they been that way for years? It's that God to change them. Absolutely, He can do it. And He will. All we have to do is our part. Let God take care of the rest.
That was free too. Even with Thessalonica, you sent once again into my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. Listen to that. I do these things not for myself. I do it because I want the church of Thessalonica. I want the church of Philippi. I want the church of Macedonia. I want all of our sister churches to grow and prosper in love and grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. He said, but I have all, and I am abound, and I'm full. It's the man that just says, I know how to be hungry. I know how to be brought down low. I know how to take stripes for my Lord. He knows all that. He knows how to be shipwrecked 3 times. He knows how to be bitten by a viper. He knows how it is when people just despise him and stone him and beat him with sticks and beat him with a rod. 39 times they won. He knows all of that, and yet, even though he went through all of that, he said, I still want you all to be able to prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You pray for me. He says, but I have all, and I found it full, having received of Epaphroditus the things, he said, which were sent from you, an odor of sweet, and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Epaphroditus is the one that is attributed to writing this on Paul's behalf. He said, but my God, listen, if you don't hear anything today, you write down that 19th verse. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I was going to read the last 3 verses, but for the sake of time, I want to get back to the Elite 8. I can do all things through Christ. Nothing, at least these 8 things. Not just this list, but it was so important that he wrote all 8 of these down in one verse. Why would he write every one of these down in one verse? Let's look at the word true for just a moment. What does that word mean? It means to be genuine. It means to be honest. It means to be sincere. And there's one thing I want people to recognize, whether I'm working in the church or out in public, I want them to understand that I am true. I'm true to my Lord. I'm true to my God. I'm true to God. I'm true to other men. I want to be true to my church. You say, it's my church? No, it's the Lord's church. But He put me in that church, and so therefore I'm a part of the body. And if I'm part of the body, I need to be true to that body. That's what He's saying. We got to be genuine. Don't go on. I see this everywhere I go. I saw it in Trinidad. I saw it in Africa. You'll see it very plainly. God is everywhere there. It's on their maxi pads. It's on their buses. It's on their taxi cabs. It's everywhere you go. You'll see. It's all about God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just don't want to go around saying it. I want people to see it. I want to be true. Don't you want to be true to this community, to each other? So let's write down the word truth. I meant to do that, but I didn't. Truth. I was going to do that so I could keep up. But this is what I mean. This is the eight. And not only be true to God and to man and church, but be true to each other. That's what he's saying. Whatsoever you're going to do, do it with truth. Be true to one another. Then he says, honest. Did you notice that word honest? What does that mean? What does it mean to be honest? And all what Paul is saying there in that word, when you break it down in the Greek word, you know what that word honest means? It means be honest and honor God. Honor God in your honesty. Every day of your life, honor God. That's what he's saying. Honest. I want to be honest. I want to be honest not in just a few things. I want to be honest in all things. The first one you got to start with being honest with is yourself. We have to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest before God. Let me say, when we pray to God, God already knows what our thoughts are. He already knows what we've been through. He already knows what we're going through. He knows all about it, so honor Him. Because He's got the outcome. He knows what we need. Even when we think we don't need it. I'm telling you, that's what he's saying. That's that second elite eight. Honest in all things, especially self, honoring God. Number three, just. What's that word mean? It means to be righteous. Are you righteous? You don't have to go around telling everybody you're righteous. I'll tell you, somebody that sees you will know it in just a matter of minutes, whether or not there's something different about you. In order for there to be something different about you, you must live a just life. In church and out of church. In your homes. In our houses. You know, there's a difference between a house and a home. Did you know that? Anybody can have a house. Anybody can have a house. But this sister wants her son to have a home. How do you get a home? You become righteous before God. How can you become righteous before God? Only in Jesus Christ can you become righteous. He is our righteousness. Are you just? Pure. The word pure. Maybe this is an oversimplification, but this is what it means. It means to be chaste. Now, if we're going to be chaste, what does it mean? What does that really mean? As a church member, how can I be chaste? How can I be this way? In other words, Tony said, the way to be chaste is to flee. Number four is pure. Number five, I don't usually preach this way, but usually I preach this way. Number five is lovely. That word means to be very lovely or lovable. Everybody wants to be loved. I don't care who they are. Everybody wants to be lovable. And that's what he's saying. I want to love you. Pastor didn't love his church. He don't need to be the pastor of that church. A church that doesn't love his pastor doesn't need to be the pastor of that church. That's a hard thing to say, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's all about love. Every bit of it is about love. When we talked this morning, Brother Terry, you know, God delivers against all odds. Against all odds. It would be against all odds. So we're saying it. And I've heard him say, you know, he won't go down to that church. I'll tell you, God says to go to that church. It'll be the loveliest church that's ever.
Jason, Sister Sandra. They heard it from everybody.
Well, you're not going to pack up four kids and go for it, are you?
They heard it from their family, even, and I know they did, and I'm not saying anything that they haven't shared with me. But I'm going to tell you, when you go somewhere where God wants you to be, it's a lovely thing. Oh, it's so lovely, brother. It's lovely. It makes you get off the corner, and the first thing you want to go and be with those people. Because I'm part of those people.
It just may be two or three, but it doesn't matter. If God's in the midst,
it's lovely, brother Paul. It's lovely. So think on these things and do them.
That's what I'm asking you to do. Six. Good report.
A lot of people say, well, I don't care what you think about me. I'm just the opposite. I want people to care about what I think, what I do, and I care about what they think and what they do. I want a good report.
And that word there, a good report means sounding well. I want to be able to sound well.
Yes, before my fellow man, before my brothers and my sisters, but more importantly, I want to stand before God. And him say, well done. I got a feeling when I stand before him, maybe you're not going to be that way, but when I stand before him, he's going to go through a list. Well, he didn't get that right. He didn't do that right. He didn't do this right. But when it's all said and done because of Jesus sitting on the throne of God, he's going to say, well done. If you want the one thing right that needs to be right, you got saved. You get that right.
And I'll tell you, everything else will fall into place. That's a verse of Scripture. Did you know that?
Jesus said the first seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these other things be added to you. Don't worry about how you look. Don't worry about when you look in the mirror. Don't worry about adding an inch to your height. Don't worry about changing the skin of your skin. Don't worry about all those things. I'll tell you, don't people worry about that kind of stuff all the time. I'm telling you, if you want a good report, you just serve God well.
Good report. Number seven. I've already got these written down and I'm writing them down again. Virtue. What that word means? It means force, strength of mind and body. You know, a lot of people, they'll want to get the body in shape and they'll keep it in shape until we get old and then it gets out of shape. And then what we try to do, we try to do plastic surgery, we try to do this, try to do that, and everything else. Let me tell you, the best thing for you to do is apply virtue to your life, both mind, body, and soul. That means to nurture it the way God would have for you to do that. That's what that word is talking about. It means force. Number eight. I don't even have a lot to say about that, but I'm just about finished, and I'm going to close up. The word praise. Now, a lot of people, they'll go right to that word. They'll go right to that word and forget about the other seven. I'll tell you what. Before you get to that one, you got to endure a lot of stuff. The first seven before you ever get to praise. But I'll tell you what, if you go with the Lord Jesus Christ and you follow in His footsteps and the way that He would have for you to go, then the word praise means commendation. What does that mean? It means words of praise. It means positive words of affirmation. What does that mean? Positive. I'll tell you, I want to be a positive influence on everyone I come in contact with. Am I? I've got a lot of work to do. But before I can get to the point where I can really praise the Lord in the way that I need to praise Him, I got to work on me. You said I was going to say I had to work on you. I can't work on you. God's got to work on you. He's going to work on me, He'll work on you. You know what? He may, you ever heard that song? Is it cold? Cold's here today. I'm sure he might know the song. He's still working on me. Took him about a week to make the world and all the things therein. Guess what? He's still working on me. In 3 years, he's still working on me. I'm going to tell you, when you ever get to the point where you think you have made it, you better start back at number one and start working on it again so you can get to that word commendation or praise. That's what it really means. And then nine, think on these things and do. In the Amplified Bible, that verse of Scripture, this is at the end of it. If you've got an Amplified Bible and you look at the end, this is what we need to do with these eight elite things. Center your mind on these things. Center your mind on it. center your consciousness. You say, well, I thought it was a soul work. It is a soul work. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have the right conscience and the right ability to rationally think about these things that I've talked to you about, you're going to have a hard time letting it penetrate your soul. So what do we have to do? Paul said we have to mortify, or we have to kill the flesh in order for us to be spiritually fit to be used in His kingdom. But we center your mind on these and pray God to implant these things where? In our mind? No. We've got to get planted in our hearts. When we get these things planted in our heart, I wrote this down. Through and by the awesome strength and power of Jesus Christ, if we will think on these things and do them with the power and strength of Jesus Christ, we can go to Psalms 18, 1 and 3 and close with this today. Psalms 18, 1 through 3, and this is what it says. David said, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. I'm going to tell you, none of us can do these things in that verse 8 unless we rely on where our strength comes from. Our strength cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, if He made heaven and earth, don't you think He's still got this under control? He's got your life under control. He's got my life under control. If we will think on these things and do them. Think on these things. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. A lot of times we have a hard time trusting the Lord because we don't understand Proverbs 3 and 5. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And the horn of my salvation, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. You know, I'd already read that this morning. And I thought about those gallows. And, you know, if Haman was put up there at about 75 feet up in the air where everybody could see him, you know what's beyond that? A high tower. A higher tower. A plane that we cannot even see. But we know it's there. How do you know it's there? It's like a kite. If you ever flown a kite, that kite can get out of sight. But you know it's still there. How do you know it's still there? Because it's still a string. It might go up in the clouds. But you know it's there. Don't you go to sun? Absolutely. I don't have to tell you those things. Don't need me. God, He's still in you. He's almighty. He's powerful. So therefore, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This is just after David, if you read that whole Psalm, 50 verses there. It's after the Lord delivered him out of the hand of Saul and out of his enemies. A task that he knew that he couldn't do on his own, so he went to the Lord. A task that I know that I cannot do on my own. I cannot pastor this church. No pastor can pastor a church unless the Lord helps him. How can you help sheep in a pasture when they're the way they are? You say, well, I'm not that way. Oh, yes, you are. We're all just alike. We want to do our own thing. My ideal is better than this ideal. That ideal is better than that ideal. Let me tell you, when it's the Lord's ideal, everybody's going to be on the same page. Well, I hope you got fed a little bit today. That's what the purpose was. But now, I need to invite my brother up here. Before I do, I want to get ready for him. Go ahead. I'm getting dressed. Go ahead, brother.
And he would say that the word is a gift. Each and every word has its own meaning.
Amen.
It is a vehicle to carry you the knowledge and the understanding.
Amen, brother Sonny. Thank you.
I love words.
I do too. Anybody else before we turn the service up to Brother Paul?
Well, I need to thank the Lord for that this morning. I so needed to hear that. If you knew that. it is so easy to get just distracted by all the noise of life. You know, for me, it's It's my responsibilities at home and for all of you. It might be your jobs or the news. You know, you get so involved and you get to the point where you're so focused on those things that you forget to just say,
amen.
And that was just a good list of the things we need to do. One of my favorite verses in the scriptures is in the book of Jonah where he says, they that serve my vanities forsake their own mercy. And I do that so often. So I'm just so thankful to be here.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that God is so merciful for us. He teaches us and he's so patient. And he shows us exactly the things that we need to do to stay close to him.
Amen.
So that we might go out and serve him in our neighborhoods and in our homes. And take that light and have an effect on those that we love. And I just thank you all for having me here today and for just keep up with your prayers and Morgan. Keep my husband in your prayers.
Amen.
You know, he has a big job out there. He's got a lot of responsibility. He works full time. He has a pastor and he does all of the services. He teaches Sunday school. He does everything. And I just ask that you would really lift him up.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Sandra. We love you all so much. We like when they come to this person on sale. Anybody else?
Sister Sandra, you said that your husband does everything. He needs to stop micromanaging.
Yeah.
And he needs to delegate. Like the Lord delegates different things for us to do. He delegates things. You know, and I know when you're growing up pastor that they have to say the same thing. We have to speak the same thing. But tell him that it's going to get much harder if he doesn't learn to delegate. He's got to learn to trust his pastor. He has to learn that. If he doesn't, he's going to be in the hospital the whole life.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he is the pastor she's talking about.
Yep, I know.
Pray that the Lord will send us some people that he can delegate to. He would gladly do that.
Somebody else. Anything else on your heart? Well, all you're in. Go on. This is Brother Paul Wilson, pastor of the New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church, principal, and so many other things. God, let me explain that.
She's in Brian's shirt for all of
us. I got another one in here. Who came from him?
I bring greetings to you from New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church in Atebubu, Ghana, West Africa. I thank the Lord first of all, for saving my soul. I thank the opportunity for me to be here. I was once here when Brother Bariama was here. Thank the church. And thank Brother Ron. New Covenant was organized out of Mount Zion. That was the first church that was organized on the 12th of January 1987. I was given an arm to go to the north, 100 miles from Mount Zion, which is my hometown, to go and start missions. In Ghana, getting to the northern part of the country, Muslims and idol worshippers and different kinds of religions. And we have about 46 different tribes, and we speak different languages, about 80 something. And getting to know, we have 144,000 villages that have never been reached by the gospel. And so we are laboring, getting to the north, which are the town where I am is the biggest in West Africa, where there are Muslims more than any place. So we need your prayers.
Amen.
As we labor in the vineyard of God. And New Covenant was organized the same year, in 1987, on 14th September. New Covenant now has four missions.
Amen.
Some of the missions were just last year, about 60 people, both children and adults, coming. None of them are sick. So we need your prayers. Our brothers came, Brother Spurgeon, Brother Travis, Brother Ricky and his son, and Brother Charlie Harrison and Brother Tony, they came last year, and 31 people got saved. And Brother Phil Christie also came for 60 days. He came in January on the 15th and left January on the 15th of March. And seven others got saved. He went to a Southern Baptist church in the northern part, getting close to the Sahara. That was the first place he had ever, any of our preachers had ever gone. And some people got saved. So we have more places to go. And there are many of them, the Southern Baptist church, that are also turning to become part of us. We don't know who is there. We don't know whom to accept. So it's God that, because there are some of them who are coming that we don't know who they are. But we pray that God will bring the right people. We are getting new grounds now. So I thank the Lord once again. This is my 15th time of coming to the States. And my wife, this is the first time she has ever come. And we have 8 children. Our first one is 36 years. He is in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia. We pray for him because he's in the Arab land. And our last one, Bryson, he's 12 years. I think my wife is feeling homesick for those little ones. And so we pray that you pray with us. We have schools. We have 2 schools. When the church was actually going to buy properties to build, there was a school there on the property, and they sold the school with the property for us. The school was established by a Muslim. So about 60% of the children were Muslims. The number was about 250, and about 3 years we rose up to about 620. From the year 2007, we lost the school completely. The competition was very keen. And the government also introduced free feeding and free fees. So everybody wanted to go to the public school. And some of the private schools were having other amenities that we didn't have. So we lost the school completely. Then 2012, somebody came to rent the premises and start his own school. There were 2. One of them died, and one of them also had to start another school somewhere. So we took over the children. We started with 420. When Brother Ron came, there were about 280. Now we are 242. We are getting down. It's a mission field for us.
Amen.
Anytime that our brothers come, it's always pleasant to see the children everywhere. We have seen many of them gotten saved over the years. Muslims and children from different denominations. So we pray for us as we labor in the school, in the other mission fields. Some of our places are far into the jungle. The farthest one is about 53 miles. In Ghana, when we say 53 miles, you need about 3 hours to go. Places are not more travel. So we need your prayers. 4 of my children are saved, and 4 are not saved. The least one is about 12 years. He started going to the altar in the last 4. So we cherish your prayers. And I take some children to stay with me all the time. I have some orphans and other, anybody that I get, try to raise them. And some of them got saved and go. And I have, with my children, I have 16 in the house. But most of them are in schools. So we pray for this one, because any of them comes, we get saved and go. So God is really blessing us. We have another school. They were 80. But in Assemblies of God, pastor's wife was the headmistress of the school, and she broke away, took some of their children. So we lost some of their children. We now have 59. So we have challenges in both of the schools. The school is coming down. We pray that we don't lose the school this time. Because between 2007 and 2012, when we lost the school, I was really devastated, because I couldn't get any place to go. In the morning, I go to the school. It's about 2 blocks from my house, so I go there about 10 times a day. Can help in any of the classes. I teach French a little, and I can teach a little of English. And I go there to preach anytime. In Ghana, every school had the opportunity to preach 1 hour a week. But for a mission school like ours, we can go in at any time and to preach to the children. So we cherish your prayers so much, so that the number is coming down right from 2012, from 420 to 242 now. So we pray that it will go up. And whenever our brothers come, they get the opportunity to preach to these children. Some of them, you can't get them to come to church, because most of them are Muslims. So we pray that we can get them and catch them when they are young. So we cherish your prayers, and so far this is what's going on. Mount Zion, since somebody is not here, I have to give a report about Mount Zion. Mount Zion has 150 members. It's a big church. It's at another point. It is a place where about five towns meet, and it's at the center. They tried to find a property for over the years, but they couldn't. God was preparing them for a better place. They've got a place where almost every day they get some visitors coming. Mount Zion is growing very fast, and they want to start a school. And right now we have 5 churches in Ghana, and we have 7 missions.
Amen.
7, 5 under, 4 under New Covenant, 2 under Mount Zion, and 1 under Trinity. And so far, that's for the report, and I am open to questions. If anybody has the questions to ask, I would be pleased to ask. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? Come stay up here.
Do you have any questions? I can tell you this, that in Accra, there's about 5 million people there.
Yeah.
In the area that he lives in, Kumasi, there's about 3 million people there. Right?
Yeah.
We got a lot of work to do. 5 churches, 7 missions that are in that area. Anything else that you didn't understand that you want more clarification, Sister Lisa?
The money that you collect here, does it go to buy a school, build a school, support the school, or is it support the? I mean, how is that? How is it? We want to pray for the money to
sure,
go
sure.
Blossom.
She's asking you the money that's collected while you're here in the States. What does that go toward? Does it go?
Yeah, there are some people specifically headed to give some money for the school.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Pleasant Valley. There were some children who were collecting change, and they collected over the years. They collected $400. Freedom, they collected $300, $700 to go to the school. Last year, the money that some churches contributed, particularly for the school, we used to buy a pump to pump water for the school children, because for 3 years we had a well that there was no pump. And so the money that was given to me personally, I use it for some for the school, some for my personal listen. But if it is specifically for the school or for any church, well, that's what we do. But this is for giving to me that I use it in a way that I use it. Yeah.
Does that explain it?
Perfect.
All right. He can speak French. I don't know if he can and English and Twi, probably several other dialects. And so he could work anywhere he wanted to. He got hired by a hospital just. And so, but he has chosen to devote his life to Christ. I've known him a long time. I know about his experience of salvation. You want to tell him a little bit about that?
Yeah.
When he used to worship crocodiles, right?
Okay. I my family, I'm an Ashanti. The Ashantis, I think all the tribes in the world, we inherit from the father's side. But Ashantis inherit from the mother's side, because we had a lot of gold and we have the kings. So we don't want the kingship to go away. So Lydia, Samuel's wife, is my first cousin. In the olden days, she should have been my wife so that our children would not go anywhere. So our families were worshipping crocodiles, and they are still worshipping it. But my grandfather is a fetish priest, and because we our father's side, our maternal side have authority, he took me for my father, who is a preacher. Actually, he didn't like it, but he took me for my father to stay with him so that whenever he's no more, I can take his place. At the age of 6, I was in class 1. And
he's royal descendant, that's what he's saying.
So I stayed there, but God allowed me to know that what they were doing was wrong. Then I ran back to my father. During those days, you can stop a bus if you are in the school uniform. We take uniforms to school, not here. Every school has a uniform. And it differentiates one school from the other. If you stop a bus, you can travel on any bus, but not now. So I ran back to my father, and I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church. My father was a great teacher. Actually, he did not go to school. My father could speak 9 languages. He preaches along the street, and I used to read the Bible for him. So I got to know I was lost when I was 14. And then in our church, when you are very good at the Sunday school, then the encourage is that you take you to a class, and if you're good, then they tell you you're saved. So I was asked to come and accept Christ. I did it, and I was baptized. But I found out that God did not accept me. I found out I was about to mean, and I need to. But my father was so strict, he would not allow us to go anywhere. But my father died very early. My father died in 1846. I'm 59 now. So God has blessed me. My mother died when he was 44. They all had heart problems. But so I began to go around trying to fix what was wrong. Actually, I did not fix what was wrong, but I knew there was something wrong with me. During those times, a preacher was preaching along the street. During those days, I didn't know there were Baptists or some people who were allowing people to sing. There's one church in Ghana now who allows people to sing, but they believe in losing it. So he allowed us to sing, and I had been under probation for some years. So from there, I didn't get saved, but I went to a prayer meeting. Then I saw myself on the ground crying, and I got saved on the 6th November 1981.
Anyway.
10 years running from God. And I'm so pleased that God did not kill me, or I did not die. And you know that serving creatures instead of the Creator is an abomination. And so for God to save somebody like me, who is worshiping a creature, even if it is any better creature, it's okay, but an alligator is still worse. And so I like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. You know, the second commandment says, "Thou shalt have no graven image, any likeness of anything in the head, the heavens or the earth, or that way. Thou shalt not say them or bow to them." But our family are still bowing to this creature. So, if there is anyone lost, use me as an example. If God has saved me, then He says to the audience, He can save you also. And I had a call to preach when I went to Nigeria, and had narrowly escaped when they were going to, they got me at the place when they were going to cut off my head. But I said I narrowly escaped because you cannot escape in Nigeria. If you try to escape, they grind you as a thief and they kill you. But God gave my soul.
Anyway.
And I had a call to preach. Came back to Nigeria and started serving the Lord. So,
thank you, brother. Any other questions?
Fred Paul, you have to explain that one part, because I have to really listen to you.
Yeah.
You're so different from what I know that it's like, you know, not only do I have to understand you, but I also have to comprehend it. And yeah. My little simple mind that was spent most of my life here in Nashville is way more than I can really even comprehend. Does that make sense? I can't really understand it. So did you say something just there on that last part about somebody wanting to cut your head off?
Yes. Yeah, in Nigeria. After I went to school, after high school, I had wanted to go to the sixth form, which is from there you go to college. Then my father died, so I have to go back tonight. I was a teacher. And during those times, there was an oil boom in Nigeria. Everybody was going for greener pastures. So I went there as a teacher, but I couldn't get it. So I was going around as a shoemaker, trying to mend shoes. Somebody called me. And but there are a lot of money rituals. They kill people for money. You may not understand this. In Africa, there are a lot of superstitions that you don't understand. They called me, the moment that they called me, I was shaking all over. I felt a premonition that something is going to happen, but I needed the money because I was, my mother had already gone into debt because she wanted to send me somewhere and everything. So I went there, I sensed something is wrong because I was sick. But when I went, there was a fetish priest.
Fetish priest.
And there's a big Al-Hajjah, that's a woman Muslim, very rich. If you see her, her dress. And they were talking in their language that they needed a head. I understood the language. But the first thing they asked me, "Do you understand our language?" I said, "No." When I was going, my father's friend told me that the moment that I reached that country, I should let people teach me the first thing. The first 3 days, I should let somebody teach me, let's catch him, let's kill him, this vocabulary. But I had been there for about a year. And I was going around to deal with these local people who could not speak English. So I was forced to learn their language. So when they were talking about how my head is going to cost, so anytime that I talk about salvation, I talk about You can't put a price on the soul, but they put a price on my head. And they said they're going to cut my head because it will cost this much. And they sent somebody. Then I was praying. I was not going to church, but I was praying. I was shaking, I was praying, but I made as if I don't understand what they were saying, and I was just busy doing what they were doing, but I was taking it with your skin.
Without shoes.
Yeah.
How many marks?
Yeah, they were, I was mending the shoes and somebody was standing at the door and I blocked the door. So for about 30 minutes, then I asked the person to come. But unfortunately, I spoke in their language.
Yes.
That the person should come. And the person entered the place. And before they knew, I was gone.
He could understand them, but he didn't let them know that he could understand them. They come to take his life, cut his head off.
And I have seen that people are being killed. When they brand you as a thief, anybody who comes will hold their block, and they will just kick you on the ground. So if they had followed me, they would have killed me. But I escaped without their sin. And before I knew, they were running after me. But I went to this guy. So it's in a nutshell, because there were more to that. But in a nutshell, that is what happened.
And I know that that's true, because in my mother ministry, we had some guys to go over, some of the priests and stuff, evangelists and pastors to go over. And one pastor, he ended up staying. His family was there in Florida. And I don't know what was going on. I know that he was peace talking with the different gang members and different things of that nature. And when we know the thing, they had killed him, cut his head off, just tortured him for so long, hours and hours. It was just awful. So I know that they will, especially if they feel you're a hindrance to them. You know. So he was killed.
How did he escape? He understood that they were talking about cutting his head off. So while he was he was fixing shoes, he communicated with someone and they confirmed that they were going to take his head off. So he escaped and ran for several miles barefoot.
Why are you still here?
Yes. And Nigeria is about, I'd say, 95% Muslim?
Yeah.
I'd say 95% Muslim.
Yeah, well, Nigeria. And they have Sharia law.
Yeah.
After that, I went back to stay in Nigeria. My second son, who is 34 years, was born there. And I went to stay in the northern part of Nigeria. That is, they have Sharia law. The Muslims control everything. I saw them burning churches and other things. But I was working in a hospital over there. God has blessed me, but I kept it.
And back in November, I went to the Shanty Palace, and I was able to witness everything he's talking about. I toured through that, and it's very interesting. You really don't know until you go. He can get up here and describe all these things, but you really just don't know until you go. Any other questions?
Where's the radio station with that?
There is a radio station. Brother Bryson, that we support here, does still continue in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Liberia is where we own a radio station.
Yeah.
I think in Liberia we're reaching about 8 million people. In Nigeria, the radio station is meeting about 14 million people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Nigeria is the biggest with population in Africa. Nigeria has
the biggest population.
That's 158 million.
158.
It's almost equivalent to that of the U.S.
Any other questions?
One of the churches down there had, I think it was a pastor that had gotten beat up or something.
That was in Liberia. He was running the radio station.
Okay.
Brother.
It's Filion. He's called Filion, but I forgot the name. The first one. The third name is Filion.
Filion?
Okay.
Yeah. And keep in mind, it wasn't Muslims that tried to take his life. It was a charismatic movement. So it was. All right. I won't. He's gonna speak in Twi for us. In the scriptures?
What's your name?
In John 3:16,
for God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So therefore, we have this.
Okay.
You know what this is telling you? Alright. Three heads are better than one. True?
Yes.
Yes. God the Father? God the Son? God the Holy Spirit. You come under conviction, you come to an old fashioned altar. That's the only place
where
you can speak to the Lord. It's not a bench in the church. It's where you can bow before God. That's where your altar would be. Noah, when he preached, he was a man of righteousness. He preached that it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. At the first raindrop, then they believed. But the door was shut, so that they could not go in. So after the waters receded, what was the first thing Noah did? He made an altar. He made an altar out of wood. And he gave a sacrifice to God. That sacrifice we want to talk to you about is Jesus Christ. Unless you repent, ye shall likewise perish. That's how we preach in Ghana. Any other questions?
Can you say one more time,
Jesus
Christ?
Jesus Christ.
It's almost like every language sounds the same. Jesus Christ is French. And Yoruba, that's the Nigerian language, they say Jesus. So it's almost everything has Jesus in it.
Amen.
But God changes. The name of God changes. Like Jesus Christ, I think almost all the languages have. What about Spanish?
In Spanish, Espanol. Jesus Christ.
Jesus
Cristo. Jesus de Cristo. See.
So it's almost the same as everybody.
See.
I have one. In Japanese, it's
Yusuf. Almost the same everywhere. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to donate this to the church. I want you to have this. I did get it back in November. And so I want the church to have that as a reminder that we'll be praying for Brother Paul. I do have a few things. I think enough for a few of the children. I do have one more shirt that's too little for me. That's why he got me a bigger one. He had one for Brother Travis, and it covered about one of his arms. So before we left, he went and had the lady make one out of three shirts. I love him. He's a dear friend. I'm glad he was able to come today. Anybody have any other questions?
We take so much
time. We do.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. It enlightened a few things for me, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Brother Jimmy, can we have a song? Come around and shake hands with each other. Wish him Godspeed, Sister Felicia. Would you come, Sister Felicia? I'd like Sister Sandra to come up. She's a missionary. You say, well, her husband's a pastor of a church. He is. But they're out there on the West Coast. There's only about three churches out there that believe like we do, and they're miles apart. When he talks about going only 100 miles, I want you to get this picture. 100 miles to his house from where Mount Zion Church is. Do you know how long it takes to get there?
Thank
you, brother. Thank you. We'll put that out here.
Brother Ron, it takes 3 hours because of the method of travel.
There's one paved road. After you get off that paved road, it's dirt roads and ruts everywhere you go. One paved road from north, south, east, and west. In a country that's been there and civilized for years. And I'm going to tell you right now, it talks about the Muslims in this country are so impoverished. You can tell them apart from others that are not Muslims. They live in just
just conditions you can't imagine. It's just amazing. I've got pictures. I'll try to give pictures next week. I'll upload them while we have our fellowship meal. I'll give you the pictures of Trinidad. And I've got about 130 pictures of Ghana while we're there. So all the pictures of the church, mission schools, and everything else. And I'll try to get a projector to let people see those. And if you have any questions, we'd be glad to help you in that too. Any other questions before we sing them to?
What is a shirt like this? I have one.
What's a shirt like this?
Only from somebody from
Argentina.
Argentina? It was in the only day that it came back. You know, I have one, broke one.
Yes.
The Maracas one.
Yes. Mama's got a dress. I've got a June shirt. I'm sure we can wash it off. How much did it cost you, U.S.? How much did it cost you, U.S.? Yes, and that looks like why,
man. And she knows the shop.
That's right.
Okay, let me so to just so maybe to show you what the boat is about.
$15.
Wow.
Now you don't pay them $15 till you get there. Because they're gonna say for this shirt you're gonna have to pay me $40. Am I right? Right.
Yeah.
And you make them mad if you pay for $40. They want you to negotiate the price.
Yeah, you do.
Okay? So you take somebody like this and you say, we're $40, and say, no, it's only worth $15. You say, well, I'll give you $10. No, I'm not gonna sell it for $10. Jack, you know what they are gonna sell it for. Because they'll give it to you.
The money is the white man who did this way.
That's right. White man is raising the price.
But Ron, is Jimmy the Paul's? Is that
Jimmy is Paul's niece. Yes.
Okay.
Jimmy goes to McFerrin.
Yes. Oh, she wanted to come today.
Jemima is Paul and Felicia's niece.
Okay. Okay. She wanted to come, but.
Yes. Sister Marilyn Spicer fell and almost broke her leg. A couple of days ago, they were coming today to be here, but unfortunately, Sister Spicer is just a bruise, very severe bruise, and she's just now being forced to walk on her leg. But eventually, they will come and be with us. If you go there, they have really good chicken and rice one day. The next day, you'll have rice and chicken. They have that's my chicken and rice. But it's good. Take a different
right.
Okay. I do have another shirt, and it's kind of small. I don't know if anybody wore that. It's there. This is interesting, too, because if you go, if you see this is weaved on a weaving machine. Yeah, this is weaved by hand on a weaving machine. And the weaving is that a bone ring? Bone ring? Yeah, bone ring. There's a church there. Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. At the church, we have the revival there. They have the weaving machine there. And they weave these to provide money and food for the members of the church there. But not only do they weave these, they weave all kinds of things. I've got slippers, I've got a tie. They do a lot of weaving as well. So if you're interested in these things, we'll probably get it to you by next March when they come back. Or Dr. Collins, if you'd like to go. In June, Dr. Collins, medical team, is in June. So if you want to go to in June, get your visa, your passport for visa, and it's a plane ticket.
What did that plane ticket cost
right now? Right. Those who have beer, right now, they bought it for
$1,000.
We paid $2,000. We paid $2,000.
It got as high as $2,000. By the fuel prices, it went way up over $2,000. But you can go probably round trip. The $1,000 ticket would take you about 26 hours to get there. You go through Amsterdam, then down to one
You buy it.
But if you want to pay $2,000, you can buy a 12-hour trip from Atlanta all the way to LaCrosse in one shot. So it's all, you know, us being machine
down. I need not to check alone. I need it. Teachers in the school, and teachers.
Yeah, anybody. There's always somebody to be able to teach Sunday school, brass, whatever, from the children to the young ones. There's always going to be something to do. All right. Any other questions? Any of the children would like to have somebody. There's a crocodile that you worship. What's that?
That's the symbol.
The symbol? That's a keychain there. These are made out of coconut.
Yeah.
Beads. High end part coconut, so if you like to be bracelets, so you can interview your children. It should be enough for take the pick.
It's 203. 203, amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves the wretch.
Years old.
Yeah.
That's something I never did. I'm going to have to go.
So I go with the remainder of the day. Faith, you to minister and your family. The favor is best in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hold on.
Well, you are.